Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. And what we're planning on doing for you now is a patron exclusive show.
What do you think of that?
What did you decide? This is the February 2023 show that is done just for patrons of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thanks so much for your continued support and patronage. What did you say you wanted to call this one, Darren?
The Leap Day Spooktacular.
So
it's not technically February 29th, but
in my heart it is. I feel like in my heart and soul it's Leap Day.
It's the 60th day of the year.
Sure. Sure.
Sometimes that's Leap Day.
If I were someone with a Leap Day birthday, and I only missed out on it by 7 months. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would be insufferable.
Oh.
I mean, that's all I
would
talk about.
Aren't I the greatest?
And I'm a lot to take now as it stands.
Right.
But
look how special I am.
If I was born in late February of 72 rather than late September, oh boy, would that be... I don't know. I don't even know if I could stand myself now that I think about it.
Well, it would be one other thing that you would add to your resume when you make your way to Jeopardy. says here you're a leap year baby.
I feel like I've got enough cool stories. I don't need to add
You're
that.
A leap day baby.
I mean,
huh?
it wouldn't, that might be something I say for like day 5 or 6 on my run on Jeopardy.
It's almost worth the sort of thing to lie about. I'm not a liar. I don't lie, but I've got a little blind spot there.
That's true. Wow, that's a good call.
It's the sort of thing that, you know, I get. It'd be easy enough for people to check. It's like, why do you tell people that when it's easy to find out that you're not a leap day baby?
Well, I don't know how that's that easy to check. You were born in a year with a leap day in it. You could pull this off too.
Well, I did. I was on the 29th.
So you were just off by 10 months.
I mean, if anyone's going to lie about it, it should be me.
Yes. You have far more right to the claim than I do.
Or we could both say that we're Leap Day Babies.
You're listening to the only morning show with a couple
of... We call ourselves the Leap Day Babies.
Leap Day Babies in the morning.
Leap Day Babies in the morning.
I think people would listen to that. Uh-huh. You're listening to Leap Day Baby in the morning. And Leap Day Baby.
Also in the morning.
A couple of leap day babies all morning long.
You didn't get any sleep. You're listening to the Leap Day Babies.
Hey, the Bears have the first pick in the draft.
They do.
And there's just been a lot of obsessing over, you know, what are they going to do with it? If they do anything other than trade it away for more picks, I'm going to be furious.
Me as well.
If they end up using that pick.
A team that is known as the Bears.
No, what they should be doing, what they should be doing is right now, now, trading it to the Houston Texans. And now it's yours.
No, you hold on to it until draft day. Because you don't know what other offers you could be getting. I don't think you trade it now.
Well,
wait for people to get squirrely.
But you could trade it. You could trade it now, and then you're at number two, and then the Colts want to go up to number two. Although I suppose the Colts could go, be damned, we're going to go up and get the number one pick anyway, and now we're taking it from Houston. But then why would Houston do that? They just gave up picks to you, and what, you're just retrieving picks back from the Colts?
If they
can trade down twice, that's the best.
If they trade down twice, that would be ideal.
Yes.
And that would make me feel like the organization is run by people that know what they're doing. Which is not a feeling I've ever had in my entire life.
I don't know if they can pull that off, but that would be the best way to go.
It would be the best way to go. Now, there's talk that if they were to keep it, maybe they would use it for one of the top-tier picks. That would be a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Georgia star defensive lineman Jalen Carter is a guy whose name you hear a lot.
He's a big interior defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm. He is in the running, actually, to be the number one pick in the draft, although the teams that could be getting that pick are going to go after a quarterback. But he's certainly a top five pick, right?
Yes, he is.
Well, not so fast.
Now what?
Arrest warrants for reckless driving and racing have been issued for Georgia star defensive lineman Jalen Carter in connection to a fatal car crash in which one of his teammates and a team staffer died.
When?
An investigation by the Athens Clark County Police found that Carter, who is currently at the NFL scouting combine, was driving a 2021 Jeep Trackhawk in a manner consistent with racing the morning that the Georgia player and a recruiting analyst were killed on January 15th in a crash. Now, the analyst, the recruiting analyst that was killed, was driving a Ford Expedition and had a blood alcohol of 0.197.
Who did?
The guy who died in the car crash.
Okay, so he wasn't in a crash. He was just racing.
Racing. So it's reckless driving.
It's reckless driving.
You were racing this guy when his car crashed.
Okay, gotcha.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So then they're going to connect the dots and say it was because of the race you were in that this guy is dead.
Yes, I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. The police this morning saying in a release, the evidence demonstrated that both vehicles switched between lanes, drove in the center turn lane, drove in opposite lanes of travel, overtook other motorists, and drove at high rates of speed in an attempt to outdistance each other. Evidence indicated that shortly before the crash, the Expedition was traveling at 104 miles per hour. Now, his story to the cops was, hey, man, I was a mile away from that crash. Then he changed his story to, I was following the car when it crashed. Following the car and racing the car.
And now do they have him?
Very different stories.
Do they have him with any drinking?
That they don't. He's supposed to be speaking with reporters today.
Yeah.
So maybe by the time our patrons hear this, there'll be more, or he'll just say, I got nothing to say, which would be what I would encourage him to do if I were this guy's agent.
Well,
his story changed again, by the way, and he told the cops that he was alongside the other car. He left the crash scene and returned an hour and a half later. Hey, did I hear something?
I got to go brush my teeth. I got to go get a sandwich and...
Right.
Let me take a shower and brush my teeth.
Pound some Gatorade here.
Pound some Gatorade.
What? Did something happen here? And you heard this? I'm floored, man. So, yeah, his car race might end up costing this guy
some big bucks.
A lot of money. Because I don't know that
having
you, feel,
said
you
that,
feel great about
having said that,
drafting
he is getting drafted.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
What if he's going to do time? What if, I mean, if they're able to prove that this guy, his actions resulted in the death of somebody. You're wasting a draft pick on somebody that could be going to jail.
I get that, but I tend to believe he'll play football at some point.
Woman is going viral for a car purchase that she just made. I don't know that this is someone I want negotiating on my behalf. This woman was posting on social media. She was thrilled. She bought a 1998 Ford Escort. Now, this is happening now, not in the past, okay?
Yeah, okay, 1998 Ford Escort.
Bought a 1998 Ford Escort. Here are the terms.
Oh, no.
She's paying $289 a month for the next 84 months.
Oh, my God.
It's not great.
Do you remember our... of course you remember her, but our friend, little Dana Piper from Ohio, Illinois.
That's right.
She had a Jeep. She was so underwater with that Jeep, it wasn't funny.
I don't remember this.
She owed like $10,000 and it was worth like two. and a lot of it had to do with what she had done to the Jeep.
This is a 25-year-old car that can't be worth much more than $1,500. She's paying nearly $300 a month.
Yeah, for 7 years.
For the next 7 years.
Is that a bad deal?
It's not great. 7 years of $300 payments for a 1998.
So she's going to pay $15,000. Ford Escort. She's going to pay $15,000 for it.
And the thing is, she's posting pictures of herself with the car. and they put like a ribbon on it, like you find on a Christmas tree. And she's posing here with the contract she signed.
Can I see her?
Come on over here and look at this. Look at how she's strutting as she shows everybody. She's so pleased with this car.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She's very happy. Oh, no. And I don't know if this fella in the car, in the picture is a friend of hers, a partner of hers, or the guy who sold her the car. If he's the guy who sold her the car, he really shouldn't be posing for pictures.
No, no. He is. I tell you what, if he's not the guy who sold her the car, if he's a friend or family member, he's not a great sounding board.
She's posing on the car like she just bought a Lamborghini. And it's a 1998 Ford Focus.
And how much a month again?
$289 a month for the next 84 months.
Wow.
That's, yeah.
Not the best.
No. No. She's a...
Think there's any chance she's going to go back to that dealership and go, hey.
You know, I posted online about this this deal, and I'm being told by, it turns out,
absolutely everyone
on earth that I might have overpaid.
As it turns out, everyone.
I posted this.
On planet Earth and those in space. All the astronauts are in agreement.
It turns out a 25-year-old sedan. This is an 84-month loan. Oh, my gosh. With 173% APR? What? Math is not your thing.
No.
Okay, this went viral because the dealership was bragging about it.
Oh, my God.
Another brand new car gone. Okay, well, that's not new.
No.
We work with any credit. Single mother of three came in and got the car of her dreams for only $289 a month for 84 months. Call us now so you can be approved. Oh, no.
Now you're asking for
somebody needs to go to jail.
Yeah, right.
A 25-year-old Ford Escort. The woman had a, it says here, apparently this woman.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the best credit. A lower than average credit score.
Still.
At the end of last year, the average finance rate on a used car is 12.37%.
Yeah, you can't do that. Those kids will starve.
She is smiling from ear to ear, posing in this picture. Just thrilled with what she was able to make happen here. Do you think this went through a bank or this is something the dealership did?
Probably the dealership.
Oh, man.
I mean, I can't... A bank wouldn't do that, would it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I suppose. Ugh. Philadelphia. Surgeon is doing a organ transplant. Dr. Adam Bodson is this guy's name.
Yes.
Scrubbed and ready to perform a liver transplant. The liver is on its way to the hospital when it gets stuck in traffic. So they're ready to go on this patient.
Yeah.
He's all scrubbed in and ready to go. And they're told it's going to be a while longer because this is in Philadelphia and the traffic is terrible.
This is like that DoorDash commercial.
What DoorDash commercial are you talking
about? They basically talk about if they're late, they'll do like how many, like 3 free months or something of DoorDash delivery?
Oh, wow.
Something like that.
To make things even worse, all of this is happening while the Philadelphia Marathon is going on.
Oh, no!
So all the roads surrounding the hospital were nearly impassable because you have thousands of runners participating in the marathon. So this surgeon says, we tried every way to get him across. The driver talked to multiple police officers about potential access points, but unfortunately, the driver who had this liver ready for transport, ready to be put into this waiting patient, this donor organ,
yeah,
couldn't get it there. unable to get across. So this surgeon, he's got this 63-year-old patient desperately in need of this liver.
Yeah.
This surgeon is still dressed in his white lab coat and scrubs, and he decides, you know what? I'll blend in with the marathon runners. I'm going to make a run for it.
I'm going to go get the liver.
This guy's
a superhero.
He runs for half a mile, weaving between all the marathon runners. He says here, quote, I flagged down a police officer before I crossed the marathon, thankfully, to agree to drive me back if I could get to the liver.
Yeah.
I think people are probably looking at me a little more odd carrying the box through. Keep in mind, with what happened to the Boston Marathon,
yeah,
if you're walking around with a cooler,
no kidding,
and you're running around like
he would have been running with the crowd when he had the liver.
Still,
but first he's got to run against the crowd.
If I was in the mix and there was a guy running with a cooler,
no kidding.
Well, maybe that'd be different though, because maybe I'd assume there's beer in that. But you know, I'm just saying with the marathon and everything.
I understand.
I could see people going like
freaking out.
Yeah, what's going on there? Take him down. So, yeah, this guy...
he's a superhero.
...made a run for it. The patient who was prepped and ready for surgery is a guy named Charles Rowe. He says, quote, he's amazing. He's a really amazing doctor. And he went beyond the call of duty.
No kidding.
I guess he has a cape on under that white jacket, the patient said.
Yeah.
By the way, you
picked the right doctor.
The doctor says he's doing great. He's done everything we've asked for of him. He doesn't look like he's had a liver transplant. Wow. So it all worked out in the end.
That is something else.
Isn't that nuts? I don't know if I love the idea of my surgeon being winded while he's putting an organ
eventually, in. Eventually, just cool down, cool mm-hmm. down, cool out. Cool out, everyone, cool out.
Police are laughing at a certain amount of irony when they pulled over a car that had a bumper sticker that said, my brakes are good. How's your insurance? And when they pulled the car over, they realized the driver didn't have any insurance. This happened on Monday night.
Why did they get pulled over?
In Northern Ireland, police pulled over a driver whose bumper sticker is, it says here, hilariously ironic. The car has been seized and the owner is fined for driving without insurance. Police officers were out on patrol there in Northern Ireland when they stopped a vehicle. Traveling on Monday night, the driver was asked to produce proof of insurance, but after frantically searching their phone for documentation, they finally admitted they didn't have any car insurance. That old trick where you're like looking for your homework in your book bag. I know it's in here.
Yeah.
All right, you got me. I don't have any insurance. Car was seized on the spot, and the driver was issued with a fixed penalty notice for the law break. Moments later, the cops there snapped a picture of the bumper sticker on the back of the car being seized, which reads, my brakes are good, is your insurance? Well, you don't have any insurance. How are you making that?
That's why I'm hoping you do.
It's really important.
That's, hope you do, friend.
I don't believe in paying for insurance. My wife yesterday was thumbing through, social media, and she says, hang on a second. Is Tom Brady unretiring again? I said, that's not possible. There's no way.
You wouldn't think.
My guess is there's probably a lot of stories that are suggesting that because it's an easy way to get clicks.
Yes.
People want to click and go, this can't be right. But there's no way Tom Brady's going to unretire again. In large part, I think because he might have had it explained to him that there weren't any other teams that were very interested in having Tom Brady.
There is that.
Right? So he's taking a year, like a gap year, because he has signed this big deal to be a play-by-play guy, yes. Right, for Fox football.
You really
want to
do that? You really want to do that?
Now, I really think it makes more sense for them to retire Terry Bradshaw.
And put him there.
And have Tom Brady be on in the studio.
Yes.
That makes so much sense.
Then you don't have to go. You don't expose yourself for 3 hours
right.
every weekend.
Right.
You can basically have everything that you're going to do, for the most part, scripted.
And
there's you can the live symmetry in one place.
And we're replacing TB with TB.
Yeah.
Terry Bradshaw gets to have a last year where I
mean, you already have Greg Olsen.
Right. Greg Olsen's good at play-by-play. I don't
Weirdo.
Know. I don't know that Tom Brady will be as good. He certainly can't be as good as Tom, as Greg Olsen is. So you keep him in the studio. Also, you're paying him all that money. You should have him in the studio because the studio guys are on every single game, right?
That's right.
I don't know that I've ever tuned into a game because of who was calling it.
Never, ever.
Oh, Joe Buck and Troy got this game. I must watch. Now, I understand why they take people from different places. I understand why Al Michaels was taken away by Amazon. Like, I get that. But it's never an incentive to watch one game over another.
No.
You tend to watch the games you have a rooting interest in.
You might like a particular, you might like a particular broadcaster, but it depends on the game, not him.
Right. There are a couple that I don't care for. Oh, it's like, oh, this, they gave this guy the job. Oh, boy. Well, Tom Brady is taking this year off in between his NFL life and his NFL on Fox life. And now we're finding out what might be going on behind the scenes. Tom Brady is chasing his dream of being a stand-up comic.
Okay, we'll go for it. Now, is he going to write his own jokes?
There's no chance.
No. He's got a team working for him.
Right? There's no chance he's writing his own material. Yeah. And look, lots of comics don't write their own material.
That's true.
What kind of delivery do you think he'll have? According to sources, Tom is going to enter a new career in stand-up comedy, but his inner circle has been begging him to rethink this. Reading here from Radar Online, they say, according to sources, Tom was a terrific quarterback, but he needs to toss this idea before it's too late, said a source who heard Brady's material.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he is writing his own stuff. The insider telling Radar, quote, as a comic, he's strictly a water boy.
Oh.
The Tampa Bay Buck quarterback's ego was inflated when Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Rita Moreno all gushed over him in the recent comedy flick, 80 for Brady.
Yeah.
And sources are saying that experience left him feeling like he's an all-pro comic.
But he wasn't funny in it. He didn't attempt to be funny in it.
He doesn't get any jokes in it?
I don't think so.
The insider saying the ladies were super nice to him and he did a nice job reading professionally written material in a small part, but he'll be playing in a whole different league if he takes up the stand-up stage. He does a great impersonation of former teammate Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, bro.
And his over-the-top Boston accent is hilarious. Is it?
Oh, man.
The overall scouting report is not promising. According to a source who got his hands on a couple of Brady's kickers, which I guess they're talking about his material.
His zings.
One of his less-than-funny fumbles that landed with a thud with one Hollywood comedy writer was, quote, what did the linebacker say to the flight attendant?
What's that?
Put me in coach. That's kind of great.
Uh-huh.
Is it just him doing
Is he just going to be a dork? Is that the idea?
If it's just him doing like Henny Youngman delivery.
Exactly. And then looking around like, did you like, almost looking around like he's a dummy.
That would be great. Okay, I want to talk him out of not doing this.
Go ahead and do it. Do it.
Tom Brady doing stand-up comedy. Listen, I've done stand-up. It's not as easy as playing football, all right? Tom has decided to postpone his $375 million Fox Sports deal where he'll be the NFL's network's NFL analyst. He's putting it off until next year. A source saying the decision was a last-ditch effort to win back his ex-wife, Gisele Bündchen. Now, that divorce is finalized. There's nothing to save unless they get remarried.
Right.
Sources said Gisele was upset that Tom decided to unretire from the NFL and play another season. She's not going to love him doing stand-up comedy.
No.
What are you thinking, you ridiculous man? You promised you'd spend more time with the family. Now you're going to go on the road and do stand-up? I kind of really hope he does do this. Just acting like a ventriloquist dummy that
and just looking around, like just looking around. Yeah, exactly.
And after every joke,
just looking around,
just looking at the crowd, hoping to get some pity laughs.
Did you get that? Did you get it?
You guys, you know, put me in coach. See,
huh?
What did the linebacker say to the flight attendant?
You like?
Put me in coach. Tom Brady on the night of 100 laughs. Just doing football jokes. And like every once in a while, he'll drink Gatorade and try and tell a joke while he's drinking Gatorade. We love you, Tom. Do your Gronk impression again. That always kills.
Do the Gronk stuff.
There's a fella who's in trouble over his girlfriend. They've been in a relationship, it says here, for a while. This is in Peru. 26-year-old food delivery man. His girlfriend is a mummified human believed to be between 600 and 800 years old. This guy had a mummy for a girlfriend. Mummy was found nestled in the bag that this guy once used to deliver food to people's homes.
You don't want that.
So the DoorDash guy, you know how he's got that bag that's kind of like the stuff that keeps everything warm and or cold?
Yeah.
That's where they found this mummy. Julio Cesar Bermejo, arrested and will remain in detention while investigators delve further into this bizarre case. He claims that he was caring for the mummy, who he calls Juanita, for the past couple of years after his dad brought it home. In an interview with reporters, he describes how the mummy sleeps beside him in his bedroom, and he says he takes great care of it. Quote, I take care of her. I maintain her. She is like my spiritual girlfriend. Oh, wow. The mummy, by the way, had this to say.
He was my boyfriend!
Well, they sound like they're very much in
love. Sure, very much in love.
Mummified remains are thought to be a pre-Hispanic relic and an adult male individual, by the way, presumably from the eastern area of Puno in the Peruvian Andes. When somebody sits this kid down and explains to him that his girlfriend was actually a boy, that's gonna scramble your brains. Wait a minute, Juanita's a dude? I never ever kissed a mummy before! Peruvian police stumbled upon the remains while patrolling a park in the city of Puno, where this guy was hanging out with his buddies. He denied that he was trying to sell the mummy and explained that he was carrying it around because he wanted his friends to see it. Well, sure, you always want to introduce your girlfriends to your friends. You want to make sure that, you know, they like her as much as you do. The culture ministry has now taken possession of the mummified remains with the aim of protecting and preserving its heritage. The 1,000-pound sisters are in the news. One of the sisters has broken up with her words now, lazy husband.
So that's a ton.
Yes.
That's a ton, hon.
Yes. Amy Slayton calling it quits with her husband, Michael. The couple is officially split, and the 1,000-pound sister star has already taken their sons and moved out of the family's Kentucky home. She's left her husband. It says here, Amy says Michael is lazy and has been jealous of her attention toward the kids. They've been having trouble since last year.
He's jealous of what?
Of the attention?
The attention she gets from the kids?
Towards the kids. Maybe she's giving too much attention to the kids. Oh. They got married in 2019, and they have a 2-year-old and a 7-month-old. Wow. So now the mom and the two kids have moved in with their Aunt Tammy.
Ground floor, I hope.
Who recently returned to Kentucky after staying at an Ohio rehab facility for 14 months.
Took 14 months, huh?
That's quite a thing. Just you're one of the 1,000-pound sisters, and you're divorcing your husband because you think he's lazy. That's a hell of a headline.
Yeah, he's probably not. He probably didn't cut that out and send it around.
Hey, I don't know if you saw this. I'm in the paper.
I'm in the paper.
Really?
I don't mean to brag.
just throwing that out there.
Toot my own horn, but.
Man is in trouble for allegedly placing his penis inside the mouth of a seagull.
Just for the sexual thrill! The sexual thrill!
I'll
call him Livingston.
How does that even...
What you get out of that?
Yeah, how does that work? How does any of that work? David Lee, accused of having caused unnecessary suffering to a protected animal.
Yeah.
Put his penis in a seagull's beak. He's going on trial.
It is beak week.
Prosecutors say he took the wild bird and forced it down and then placed his penis in its mouth, whereby causing unnecessary suffering to that animal. Wow. It says here Lee was dressed in a navy raincoat and jeans when he entered a plea of not guilty.
And when asked what he did when he was caught, he replied, "I ran."
Consider yourself zing.
The zing of the day.
This happened over in the United Kingdom. I'm reading here from the Daily Star. They say, while seagulls seem fairly plentiful, they are regarded as a pest by many people in the UK. All species of gull are protected under the Wildlife and Countryside Act 1981 and the Wildlife Northern Ireland Order of 1985.
What was the first order?
Wildlife and Countryside Act?
Of 81?
81, yes.
That's what I'd like to invoke.
This act makes it illegal to intentionally or recklessly kill any gull or damage or destroy an active nest or its contents. I would much rather the story get out about me damaging a seagull's nest than me putting my wiener in one of its mouths.
Yes, let's just kind of soften the blow.
Intentionally killing or injuring a seagull is a criminal offense, and offenses against wildlife carry a penalty of up to £5,000, or in some cases, extreme cases like this, a jail term.
Did you say jail?
The town that this happened in is Scarborough. And they say misguided people feeding the seagulls has led to a problem that there's too many of the seagulls. Don't feed the seagulls. Also, and I can't believe I have to say this, don't put your penis inside a seagull's mouth.
If you don't mind.
If you can avoid it, that would be great. And finally, we're going to end this patron exclusive show, Darren, on a sour note, kind of a sad note here.
Bum 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 ba bum 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 ba bum, and another one gone, and another one gone, another one bites the dust. Hey, he's gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Rico Browning is dead. Rico Browning was 93 years old. A horror film legend.
Huh.
You know the movie The Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yep.
He's the guy in the suit.
Nice.
He was the creature from the Black Lagoon. Died at his home in Southwest Ranches, Florida, of natural causes. Born in Fort Pierce, Florida in 1930. Worked at Florida State University. As a teenager, he worked for Newt Perry. Newt Perry was a stand-in for Johnny Weissmuller on the Tarzan movies. In underwater newsreels and as a water show performer, he worked at the tourist attraction, the Weeki Wachee Springs. He was also, it says here, on the U.S. Air Force swim team. And that would be something you could put on a resume that would look really good. And who would check that? He got his gig as the Gill Man in the Creature of the Black Lagoon when he was showing Universal Location Scouts the area there in Florida where they did the movie, and he did some swim moves for them. You guys want to see what kind of swimmer I am as long as we're here?
Where will you be swimming this summer?
He is the last surviving actor of the original Universal Classic Monsters. That would be the series of horror films that Universal Pictures made from the 1930s to the 1950s. He was Gill Man for all the underwater scenes from Creature of the Black Lagoon.
Gill Man.
Call me the Gill Man. Hey, so you could film here or you could film here. And while I got you guys out here, I'm going to jump in the water. I want you to see what kind of form I cut when I'm under there.
Yeah.
Isn't that something else? Aren't I made for pictures? He could routinely hold his breath for 4 minutes at a time. He said that the Gill Man costume was cumbersome at first. Quote, when I put it on, it seemed awkward and clumsy. But once I got into the movie, I forgot I had it on. I became the creature. The lips of the suit sat about a half inch from my lips, and I put the air hose in my mouth to breathe. I would hold my breath and go do the scene, and I'd have other safety people with air hoses give me air if I needed it. We had a signal. If I went totally limp, that mean I needed air.
Please pay attention. Whatever you do, please. Promise me.
Here's the signal. If I stop moving.
I don't know. That's not a good signal. I mean, that's so can we come up with a different signal than that? Something that's maybe
Riku,
a more call to action than that.
If I go limp, that means I need air.
Let's think of something else.
He also said in an interview here, the crew felt sorry for me. So somebody said, how would you like a shot of brandy? I said, sure. Another part of the crew also gave me a shot of brandy. And pretty soon we were dealing with a drunk creature. He would return to the character.
You said a shot at Brandy, who was assistant on the set.
He would return for the sequels to The Creature from the Black Lagoon, 1955's Revenge of the Creature, which was also shot in 3D, and 1956, The Creature Walks Among Us. While shooting Revenge of the Creature in St. Augustine, Florida, a turtle bit off.
What a life.
Isn't this great?
What a life.
While they were filming the sequel, Revenge of the Creature, a turtle bit a foot off the costume and swam away with it.
Well,
I like turtles.
Well, that was the only foot we had. So just don't film that foot in any of the rest
of the
thing.
Not from the ankle down.
He says it was the last pair of feet that I had on the shoot. So the prop men and the other stunt divers had to chase that turtle down and get that foot out of its mouth.
I tell you what, this guy's got some stories.
Right? He also worked on such movies as 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And he was a double for Jerry Lewis in the...
Who?
You!
You!
He was a double for Jerry Lewis in the 1959 comedy Don't Give Up the Ship.
Yeah!
He also played, it says here, all of the bad guys in the 1958 TV show Sea Hunt.
My God, the stories.
Whenever there was a bad guy?
That's me.
That was me. I played all the bad guys. He was the creative brains behind the original Flipper movie and the TV show.
It just goes on and on and on.
I know. He says, I took those dolphins back to a state park in Silver Springs, Florida, and I became their parent, apparently. I took care of them.
Apparently.
One day I came home. The kids were watching Lassie on TV, and it just dawned on me, why not do a film about a boy and his dolphin? This Lassie, If you think you're so great, Lassie.
Yeah, what? I mean, it's
what
just.
What if I did Lassie with one of these dolphins I got laying around?
Lassie in the water.
Right? That's all this is. Yes. Bringing home animals was not uncommon for Browning. He says every time his daughter, his daughter says every time he got an idea for a movie, he would bring the animals home. We had a sea lion that sat at our dinner table.
He was the inspiration to Junior's Farm by Wings.
I brought this seal home. I'm trying to get him a picture deal. So he's going to be eating with us for a little while. Everybody be cool. His daughter says we had a sea lion that sat at the dinner table. We had otters, a baby black bear, and a female peacock that would sit on our shoulder and drink iced tea out of our glass. What? All the kids in the neighborhood wanted to come over to our house. Oh, that's fantastic.
Never ends.
He also directed some legendary movie scenes. You know, in Thunderball, the 1965 James Bond movie, when they have the harpoon fight?
Okay.
He directed that. Oh, man. And he directed the candy bar in the pool sequence for the 1980 film Caddyshack.
What?
Yeah.
What's the guy's name again?
The legendary Rico Browning.
Rico Browning.
What a life.
No kidding.
Yeah. Survived by his four children, his son, Rico Browning Jr., who's also a Marine coordinator and stuntman. He has 10 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren. His wife died in March of 2020. What a life well lived. Yeah, I was the creature from the Black Lagoon. I came up with Flipper. I did all the stuff for the Bond movie, Thunderball and Never Say Never Again, all the underwater stuff. And the Baby Ruth part of Caddyshack.
I directed it.
That's mine. We were trying to have a little fun with Jaws, and they got me to do that.
Wow.
That's going to do it.
I'm spent.
I know. 93 years old. That's a hell of a run.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for this patron-exclusive episode of
Leap
David
Day Spooktacular.
Top 5 Things. Thank you so much for your continued support. Hopefully this patron show didn't sound like a robot. The last two patrons, I guess.
They did?
Yeah, there was something weird where, like, the last minute or two, we did, like, a robot voice.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't happen now with this new equipment. So, yeah. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you for your continued patronage and support. We'll have another one for you in March, right?
Yep.
Probably some sort of St. Patrick's Day spooktacular.
That's, or Hazy March spooktacular.
Ooh, I like that too. Until we get a chance to do it for you then, patrons, thanks for your support. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock on,
come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Wind takes for nothing.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.